I want to pray this morning. I want to ask God to rain down on us his blessing today. And then I want to open the Word of God up, and then I want us to be released into this world that so desperately needs a witness. It needs us to be the lights of the world. So let's pray this morning. Father God, thank you again for this day. Lord, thank you for how you've poured out on us. As scriptures say, generously, you poured out on us wisdom and understanding. And you poured out on us grace and mercy and love and holiness and righteousness. You poured it out on us. And we have become inundated, so to speak, with righteousness and holiness and mercy and grace and love. And so thank you for that. Thank you for not just pointing out that we have situations in our life or a problem in our life. Thank you for that diagnosis of what was wrong, and then thank you for the antidote or the treatment plan of Jesus and what he has done in our lives and what he is doing in our lives even this day. Father, thank you for those that have gathered here this morning. Thank you for the rain this morning. Thank you for how it nourishes the ground. And Father, I'm asking that as the Word of God gets set free among us today, that it may nourish us, may it rain on us, may it get down deep into our souls, and may it just cause us to grow and cause us to move closer to you, God. Reveal yourself today to us. Father, reveal yourself to us today. We want to see you, God. We want to see you. And we want to move with you this morning. We want to be moved by you and move with you. And then we want to move you to move through us as well as we move into this day. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If I got my seasons right, right now is about the spring gobbler season. I think we're just stepped into spring gobbler season. If you're a turkey hunter, you probably know that, and you probably have been into the woods already or are planning to go into the woods. I can remember years ago when I was a spring gobbler. I did much more spring gobbler hunting than I do now, but I was up at dark. I was up in the a back field behind our house in Tioga County, Pennsylvania. And I had walked up there after dark because I wanted to listen for the gobblers on the roost. I wanted to roost a gobbler. I had an owl call with me, and I just wanted to blow it a few times and just see if I could locate a gobbler for the next day. And if I'd moved up on the hill in back of our house and stood next to the woods, I could hear down over the next valley or two. And so I went up. It has to be after dark, after they've gone to roost. They don't like owls. And so when you blow an owl call, a gobbler will gobble, even if it's after dark. A gobbler will gobble from the roost, and you can kind of locate them for the next morning and kind of make your plan, so to speak, where you can hunt turkeys. So I walked up there, and I'm listening, and I'm just being a part. Well, along with me went my two dogs. And my two dogs, they went, and one was a chocolate lab, and her name was Bridget, and one was an English setter, and her name was Kimmy. And so Kimmy and Bridget went with me. So here we are up through the field, this 30, 40-acre field behind our house to the edge of the woods. Two very quality dogs. They loved us. They were part of our family. They were slept on the couch, and they were part of our family, and they wanted to go, so of course they went. And so we're not doing any hunting. We're just trying to locate a gobbler for the next day. And so they're behaving very well. And we're up there and it's dark. And I'm listening and I blow the owl call and I listen and just a few times. And then I heard what I needed to hear. So I turned around to come back. And I was just a few hundred yards from the house. And all of a sudden, my two dogs kind of bolted just a little bit, just ahead of me, just maybe 30, 40 yards. And I come to realize at that moment that we weren't the only thing in the field that night. There was another animal in the field, and my dogs, being very social, wanted to invite that animal into our group. And so they went to give the invitation to this animal that was alongside in the field with us. And as they began to invite this small animal, this small, seemingly harmless black and white animal, as they began to invite that animal into our group, that animal decided it didn't want to be a part of our group. And I think all of a sudden fear kicked in. And if you've ever smelled skunk fear, it doesn't smell all that good. And all of a sudden, I was being blasted by a big spray of skunk spray. And it literally will take your breath away, and not in a good way, but it'll take your breath away. And so I fought the two dogs for a moment, and they finally, Pippi Le Pew got to go on his way, and the dogs, Kimmy and Ed and Bridget, returned to the house and endeavored to get in the house, which we failed because Cheryl had locked the door on us because we were inundated with skunk fear. We were inundated with something that left a lasting mark on us. One moment can have a ripple effect throughout your life. I learned that in skunk, when I was sprayed with that skunk, that you could move away from that, but yet it had lasting effects in my life. And in several days and several weeks, it had lasting effects on my two dogs. One episode, one situation, and one time, this skunk fear takes a good moment and turns it into a lingering challenge. A good moment turned into a lingering challenge. And if I was going to entitle this message, I would title it that. One moment turned into a lingering challenge. And this past Monday morning, I had one of those moments as I got ready and I come out of the bedroom and out of the shower and made some coffee and was making some breakfast and I turned on the TV and I turned on the news. And all of a sudden, just literally, I got to be honest with you, my Monday morning was going pretty well, right up to the moment when all of a sudden I felt like I was getting sprayed with something that wasn't pleasing to me. And all of a sudden, I was being inundated with something that was very challenging and causing me to have a negative attitude, a negative effect on my life. And it was the fear that was being transmitted from the news into my life. And I was becoming angry, and I was becoming frustrated, and I was becoming to the point where I could tell this was going to affect my day, and I needed to do something. I needed to get away from the skunk. I learned that in the field. I learned the first thing I needed to do is get away from what was causing that negative effect on my life. And just to be honest with you, I picked up the remote and I shut off the TV. And as the TV went off, I could still feel that lingering anger and that frustration and fear that had tried to be sprayed or was being sprayed onto me by the news. And I'm not here to make any political statement, and I'm not here to make any for or against any situation. I'm just telling you what my Monday morning was like. And I had flashbacks of that time in the field with Bridget and Kimmy and Pippi Le Pew. And I felt like that was happening again in my life. I felt like something was being sprayed on me. It was causing this lingering challenge in my life. And so I shut it off. I got away from the TV. I got away from the news at that moment. I just needed to do that. To be honest, sometimes I just need to shut it off. I've got to step away from it. I got to get away from what's trying to be sprayed onto me. And so I did what most, maybe a lot of us would do. I shut the news off, and as I'm drinking my coffee, I flipped up and opened my Facebook. And I began to look on Facebook, and if you can remember, the last Monday was April 20th, which was 420, and that doesn't mean maybe much to some of us, but 420 is the code for smoking marijuana. So 420, so there's a 420. So there's a lot of 420 different posts on my Facebook about 420, about the weed smokers. And I don't know if I feel good about this or how I feel about this, but I saw a fair amount of 420 posts on my Facebook. Of the 797 friends that I have on my Facebook, I saw a fair amount of posts, and I don't know if I feel good about that or not, but the weed smokers had their moment, and I was reading through those posts on Facebook. And then I scrolled through Facebook, still smelling a little bit like a skunk. In the 420, just to be honest with you, those of you that posted 420, I need to write to smoke dope, and there I go, and I'm not smoke marijuana, smoke weed. I'm not here to make those statements for or against that this morning, but I just got to be honest with you. They weren't doing a lot for me at that moment. Whether I have the right to smoke weed or not wasn't doing it for me that morning. I had been sprayed by a skunk, and I needed something real. I needed something that stood out to me. I needed something to nourish me of what to help me navigate through the morning and to set my week off. And then as I scrolled through Facebook, I went through a fair amount of posts that was "you can't quarantine stupid" type of post. Just to be honest with you, maybe they'll put a smile on your face, but they don't do a lot for your soul. And then I went through a fair amount of opinions, and I'm going to solve the energy crisis here ever in our world. I'm going to have a big thing that you can speak your opinion into, and it causes the electricity to happen. If that would ever happen, we would not have any shortage of any power ever in this world. There is no shortage of opinions in this world. And just to be honest with you, it wasn't doing anything for me, and I continued to flip through. And there was some political stuff, and that doesn't seem to help much when your soul is hurting. You really don't want to read both sides of the story. It just doesn't matter at that time. And then I went through a few posts that if you forward this to 500 people, God will give you $5 million. If that's ever happened in your life, please let me know, because I don't know whether to do that or not. I'm like, I'm right on the edge. Is this true or not? Will God really give me $5 million if I post it to 500 people? But it wasn't doing what I needed at that moment. And then I actually saw a post that says, "I paid for my first car. I bet you can't repost this." Who comes up with that stuff? Maybe I'm just mad because I didn't pay for my first car. My girlfriend did, and I married her. Maybe I'm just, mad. Maybe I'm just mad because I can't repost that. I didn't pay for my first car. Cheryl paid for my first car. So maybe I was just angry at that post, but I just want to be honest with you. It wasn't doing it what I needed. I've been sprayed by a skunk on Monday morning, just being honest. I've been sprayed by a skunk. And all the things of this past month and all the things that were building up, and it just seemed to overwhelm me at that moment on a Monday morning. And then all of a sudden, I started to see something on Facebook that God really started to speak to me through. Friends that are in this parking lot this morning, friends from around the state of Pennsylvania, and friends from New York, and friends from Florida, and friends from Texas, and friends from Matamoros, Mexico. And all of a sudden, I scrolled up one more time on my Facebook, and somebody here in this parking lot had posted this from Isaiah 55:1. And I don't know who you were. I didn't take record of that, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for breathing the breath of God onto Facebook that morning, because I was one that needed it. And yeah, I could have gone to my Bible, and I did after that, but this moved me toward that. Thank you for taking that opportunity to say this. And I heard God say, and it's in your notes that you a handout that has been given to you. I heard God say, "Come, listen." And I just heard these verbs all the way through Monday morning for the next hour and a half. And I moved to my office, and I began to study, and I began to look at what you were saying out there and what you were breathing into this world. And all of a sudden, I got really excited that 797 of my friends, some of you were posting weed stuff. Okay. Some of you were posting political stuff. Okay. I get that. I'm not bashing any. But thank you for those that posted Isaiah. Thank you for those ones that posted God's invitation, because your pastor needed it that day. And I heard God say through this, and I begin to full unfold what you were saying and what my friends from this country were saying and what my friends from Mexico was saying. And this is the way it unfolded. The scripture that you have down through the page on your handout is exactly what was posted. I just read one after another after another after another. And it wasn't like God was creating this smorgasbord. God was creating this one mega meal. It all went together. In Isaiah 55, I heard God say, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat!" Exclamation point. If we know the time of Isaiah, and I know there's a lot of scripture, and I got to get going, and I'm going to keep you here and run your windshield wipers a lot today when it's raining. But that's an exclamation point in Isaiah's life. And Isaiah was up against it. Isaiah was in a part of the country, and Israel was under attack most of the time. The northern kingdom had been taken captive, and the southern kingdom was hanging in the balance. And right in the middle of the most trying times of Isaiah's life, I'm going to say one of the times when Isaiah had been sprayed by a skunk, he heard this from God. "Come, Isaiah, come. You who are thirsty, come. Come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me," God's saying, "and eat what is good, for your soul will delight in the richest affairs. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live." That's what I needed on Monday morning. It was like God had handed me this big menu. And he said, "What do you want? Will you come? Will you listen? Will you eat?" To be honest with you, the spray from the skunk started to dissipate, because I understand that maybe if you pour some tomato juice on yourself after you've been sprayed with a skunk, it could help. And all of a sudden, I felt like this divine tomato juice was running over me. I'll tell you what, from this moment on, I had a productive Monday morning, because I continued to read what you had posted. I'm telling you, this is 100% you. I stole this message from you. I stole this message right off of Facebook. You preached this to me on Monday, and I come back to preach it to you on Sunday. Because the next dose of divine tomato juice that was on my poured down over me came from Psalm 139, 1 through 4. And again, I don't think God was just creating another meal. He was adding to this mashed potatoes and this gravy and he was creating this big meal for me to dine from and to dine on. And he says this, "Be known." I think that's what he told me. He said, "Come, listen, and be known. Be known." He said, "I want to know you, be known." And this Psalm 139, 1 through 4. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me, and you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, oh Lord." I wanted to be known by God like that on Monday morning. God had already invited me to come and listen and to eat. He handed me that menu. And then I believe he told me, I am certain that he told me, "You can be known like that. You are known. I know. I know what's going on. I know what's in your heart. I know what you just heard. I know how frustrated you are. I know how angry you can. I know the chaos. I know you. I know what's going on in this world. But more importantly, here in this office on Monday morning, I know what's going on inside of you. I know. Be known, Ed. And all of a sudden, I started to hear the words from Corey Asbury in the Father's house. And all of a sudden, I started to hear, lay your burdens down here in the Father's house. I felt like I was in the Father's house. I was known. I had been invited into God's restaurant, and He had handed me this menu. And He says, I know what you want. I know what you need. I know it before it's a word on your tongue. I know. I know you. You're in the Father's house. The restaurant that I've invited you into today is called the Father's house. You're in the Father's house. Lay your burdens down here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door because it ain't welcome anymore. You're in the Father's house. You're in the Father's house. And then later on in that song, it says this, prodigals come home. The helpless find hope. The love is on the move when you're in the Father's house. Prison doors fling wide. The dead come to life. Love is on the move when you're in the Father's house. I was in the Father's house. Miracles take place. The cynical find faith. And love is breaking through when you're in the Father's house. When the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking. Strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when you're in the Father, when the Father's in the room, when you're in the Father's house, when you're in the Father is in the room and you're in His house. I said, love is breaking through when you're in the Father's house. To be honest with you, Monday morning sticks out to me. There's no doubt in my life that I was in the Father's house. And I felt that His love was on the move. And I knew that I was in the Father's house. I knew that He had called me. I knew that He had said, come and eat. I know you're hungry. I know you're thirsty. I know your world is chaotic right now. And I know inside of you is chaotic. And I know you've just been sprayed by a skunk. But I'll let you in the house. Because I got some divine tomato juice to pour down over you and to get rid of that stink. Because fear stinks. I got to go. Then someone in this parking lot perhaps posted this next Isaiah 61, 11 and 10 and 11. Again, just let me give credit to you. You're the ones who preached this message to me on Monday. Let me just admit it again. I 100% stole this message from you. I heard God say, stand up. Spring up. I delight greatly in the Lord. Oh, my soul rejoices in my God. You see how God was putting this all together? You see how this was going all in the same direction? I couldn't get enough of this on Monday morning. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. He said, do you know what you're dressed in? Not only did I invite you into my restaurant, not only do I know what you need, not only am I ready to have you in my house, in my Father's house, and not only am I cooking up this meal, now I have dressed you for the occasion. With a garment of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness as the bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and the bride adorns herself with jewels. For, look at these, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes the seed to grow, so the sovereign Yahweh will make righteousness and praise spring forth from all nations. Woo! I could tell I was in the Father's house. I could tell He was feeding me. I started to believe that I was dressed in salvation. I started to believe that I was adorned with what He had adorned me with. And I started to believe that He was going to stand us up, that He was going to spring forth righteousness and praise from the nations. Our God reigns. And I felt it.
Says the sovereign Lord. Did you hear that? The sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Remember, Isaiah again is speaking this in a very, very upside down, chaotic time in Judah's life. I heard God say, be known. Come, listen. Spring up. And then somebody here in this parking lot posted Romans 8:28, and I began to read that, and it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, that it was called according to his purpose. And I was like, wow, that means so much more to me at this very moment than it ever has in my life. Because I wasn't reading it just in a void. I was reading it in the Father's house. I was reading it with a menu from God before me. I was reading it when God was saying, I dressed you for the occasion. Stand up. Spring up. I'm doing a work in you. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening in your life, don't worry. I'm God. I am Yahweh, and I will take what is good out of that, and I will squeeze it into your life. You'll see me work. Even in the most rough situations of your life, you'll see me work. And then I heard someone posted Psalm 91, and you didn't post the scripture, you just posted the reference. And I found out that that was for my good and not necessarily anybody else's. I don't know. Maybe yours too. Because I flipped my Bible to Psalm 91. And I began to read Psalm 91 because it was the next thing on the menu. Because it was the next. Listen, I did not organize these in any fashion. This is the way you organize them. I was hearing God say, spring up. I was hearing God say, know this. And then I turned to my Bible and Psalm 91. And sometime previous in my life, I had underlined three words in that in Psalm 91, 1 and 2. I had underlined it, and then I wrote some notes in the margin. And I had underlined these words, dwell, rest, trust. And then I figured out why that wasn't posted as full scripture, because God wanted me to have those three words to remind me at some point in time in my life, I needed that. I needed to know, dwell, rest, trust. You don't have to eat in a hurry here, I think is what he's saying. Dwell. Spend some time here. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. By this time in my office, I knew I was in the Father's house. I have not turned on the TV since Monday morning. Because I have a feeling God's going to prepare me a lot more for what's going on in our country if I spend time in the Father's house than if I spend time on the news. In the words in that Psalm 91, Elyon, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim. I'm telling you, when God starts out a psalm with that, you might want to pay attention. When God starts to say, Elyon, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim, that's a good time to say, yes, Lord. Because I am your Elyon, I am your El Shaddai, I am your Yahweh, your self-sufficient, all-powerful, sovereign God. And I am your Elohim, I am the one who interacts with his creation. Dwell, rest, trust. And then someone posted from Matthew 7:7 through 11. And it says this, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be open. I'm telling you what, after I spent some time in the Father's house, and after I spent some time seeking God and listening to God, I'm telling, this happened over a couple hour period. All of a sudden, Matthew 7 starts to come alive. All of a sudden, it's not just a rote behavior. Just ask God, just seek God, just knock on God's door. All of a sudden, I knew that it was real. I knew that it was something that God was wanting me to do. He was saying, ask, seek, knock, spring up, be known, come, listen. Know this, I can take any rough situation in your life and I can unpack it and I can make the good come out of it. Because I am Elion, El Shaddai, Yahweh Elohim. So ask and seek and knock. Here's some divine tomato juice. I know you've just been sprayed with fear. I know you've just been sprayed with chaos. I know you've been sprayed with frustration. Let me dose you down. Ask, what do you want? Seek, you'll find it. Knock on my door and I'll open it. And then he goes on to say, which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? No! Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Absolutely not. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Exclamation point. New lifers and friends that have joined us, you're in the Father's house. Love is on the move. This world is trying to spray us, and it is spraying us. And one thing I learned about Pepe Le Pew in that back 40, skunk fear stinks. And so does fear in general. And I had been sprayed with it. And then my sister from Matamoros, Mexico, which I had to translate this. I had to put it through a translator because she's putting everything obviously on there in Spanish. And she posted this last piece of scripture. And as I started to pour over that, I started to wonder, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to be like the widow that cried out to Elisha. I want you to expect the miraculous. See, New Lifers, I think we've stopped expecting the miraculous. Just be honest with you. Monday morning, I had stopped expecting the miraculous. I stopped thinking that God was going to do the miraculous. Oh, it's got its time frame. Whatever it is, it's going to work itself out. Whatever it is in my life. And I want to start expecting the miraculous. Why? Because I'm in the Father's house. Because He's the one who said, come and listen. He's the one who said, spring up. He's the one who said, know this. He's the one who says, be known. He is the one who says, ask, seek, knock, and receive. He's the one who says, dwell, rest, trust. It's Elion, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim. And the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. She is in a bad situation. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take away my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all. I'm empty, she says. She said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. I wish I could just, don't ask for just a few new lifers. Don't ask for just a few. Are we expecting God to do the miraculous? We're in the Father's house. And I want to know that God can do the miraculous. I want to know, and I know more now than I did last Monday. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. You and your sons, pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled up, to put it to one side. And she left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. When all the jars were filled, she said to her sons, bring me another one. How'd you like to have been in that house? You are in that house. When the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and she told the man of God, Elisha. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. I'm not sure how much was there, but she's going to pay all the debts, and she's going to live. For how long? I don't know. Maybe the rest of her life. God did the miraculous out of nothing because she was in the Father's house. So here's the divine tomato juice that I had this week poured over me by you and my sister in Matamoros, Mexico. Come. Listen. I've entitled this message Monday Morning. So really the altar call, so to speak, on this message is not stand outside your vehicle, but tomorrow morning it happens. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, can we ask God simply this? God, I want to come and listen. I want to be known by you. I want to spring up, God. I want to know what you can do. I want to dwell, rest, and trust in you. Elyon, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim. I want to ask, seek, knock, and receive. And I want to expect the miraculous. New lifers and people that have joined us, men and women of the Most High God. I want to start expecting the miraculous. But I'll never be able to do that unless I'm in the Father's house. New lifers and friends, 797. I laughed at your weed post. I was confused by your political post. Your opinions made me smile. No, Cheryl bought my first car. But thank you for those who fed me on Monday. Because as your pastor and as your friend, I needed it. And you did it. You showed up on Monday. Thank you so much. Let me pray. God, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for feeding us through each other.
And Lord, you continued to feed me throughout the week through my family and my wife and my friends. But you really bellied me up to the table, bellied me up to the table on Monday morning for a couple hours. Father, I want to expect the miraculous. In Jesus' name, God, I'm asking for the miraculous to come forth. However that looks in our lives, I pray that we would not be able to deny that it is the hand of God that bring in the oil, the anointing to us. Father, help us tomorrow morning, even this afternoon or this evening, to spend time in the Father's house. Because love is on the move. God, thank you again for these moments together. Thank you for the men and women in this parking lot on this rainy day. Truthfully, thank you for this easy up. Thank you for 88.5 on our FM dial. And thank you for inviting us. Thank you for feeding us. And thank you for not leaving us alone in these moments. Father, as we go from here today, keep us mindful that we are the children of the Most High God. And love is on the move when the Father's in the house. In Jesus' name, amen.
a bit different now, now that my heart's been found.